Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can see the title is the Greenhouse Evaluation of Various Granular Sulfur Sources for Maize Growth. The study was done by the Center 2 researchers down in the state of São Paulo in Brazil in the greenhouse studies on the different types of sulfur sources. Now, this soil sulfur deficiency has become a major problem for crops production in many countries, except in Kentucky, maybe. Due to the extensive and popular use of high analysis of NP fertilizers, such as MAP, DAP, TSP, and so on, that they contain little or no sulfur nutrients. The other one is the reduction in SO2 emission by the imposed by the EPA, so that the sulfur deposition from the air to the soil, to the agricultural soil, has been depleted. The other one is that some fertilizer companies now have been promoting. Now, look at the underscore, granular. So I'm talking about granular fertilizer, sulfur fertilizer, not powdered, okay? Products containing sulfur in the current market. What happened there? The couple examples of granules currently available in the market for the sulfur sources, such as depends on the composition, like a Tiger 90 is strictly only just elemental sulfur trading name. 90% of total sulfur and 90% of element sulfur and 0% of ammonium sulfate sulfur. And then you have a sulfur N, this is Honeywell's ammonium sulfate, which is 100% ammonium sulfate. Then you have Mosaic MES-15, that's kind of 15, divided in between the element sulfur and ammonium sulfate, 7.5 and 7.5, and so on. The new fertilizer, some of you may not be aware of this, Yara's new product called Amidas, is urea plus ammonium sulfate. Now the old product called Comico, which is urea plus element sulfur, that's a long time ago, it's an old product. In this case, about 5.5 of ammonium sulfate. And then Dr. Tinde already mentioned about the sulfur N26, that's what Honeywell called it. And this is the 2-to-1 double salt plus some free ammonium sulfate. Now, actually, it should be 14 to 15, but normally it's for 14. And the ammonium sulfur N should be 24, but really it's 24 to 25. So this represents some of the available granular sulfur sources in the market. Now, we all know that sulfur oxidation, the element sulfur will become available to the plant only when it is oxidized to sulfate. This simply demonstrates the effect of particle size. This is the particle size of element sulfur oxidation. And you can see that the smaller particle size, like 120 mesh, and about 0.25 millimeters. And then the oxidation rate drastically reduces as particle size increases. This is nothing new. It's well known in the textbook. This is the sulfur oxidation. Now, what we don't know much is about the granulation, granular element sulfur. What is the oxidation rate of granular element sulfur, granular oxidation element sulfur, incorporated into the element sulfur? This was done in the Lakeland sandy soils, about 95% of sand, less than 1% of organic matter. So purely almost like sand on the beach. And here we got control, and then we have the, during the incubation up to 12 weeks, actually 10 weeks, and we see that the granular element sulfur and versus the powder element sulfur, that you basically can see the rapid oxidation of powdered element sulfur, whereas the granular element sulfur more or less at no oxidation up to 10 weeks in this particular soil, pH around about 5.3. Why? It's because they are called locality effect on the oxidation of granular fertilizer caused the problem. This is the incorporation of powder element sulfur gets good oxidation because of the wild contact between this element sulfur particle and soil particles. This is well known. Incorporation of granular element sulfur limits the contact between the element sulfur and soil particles because of fine elemental particles still clustered around the granule side despite the granule disintegrate and release the micronized atom sulfur in the soil. Now, the other thing is the atom sulfur is hydrophobic, and the micronized atom sulfur particles, when it is dissolved, can coalesce to form larger aggregates to further decrease the ES oxidation. That's quoted by from Friesen back in 1996. So thus, this locality effect can render the initial oxidation of granular atom sulfur to nil or inadequate to sulfate sulfur for the plant. This simply demonstrates the, what is the so-called locality effect. If you see the powder atom sulfur here, oxidation is easy. But when you have a granular atom sulfur in here, the granules is salt, so it disintegrates. But the disintegrated element sulfur disintegrated but still clustered on the same spot, unless you disperse or plow or crush or whatever you do. Otherwise, it stays there, especially under no-till system. So because of this, you got this called locality effect. Minimize the contact between the sulfur particles and the soil. And this simply shows the greenhouse experiment by Friesen, 1996. Here we have a gypsum and the same lignite soil. Now about 10 milligram S per kilo, the gypsum already reached the maximum yield. The requirement is very low for the short-term maize crop. But when the atom sulfur was granulated with TSP, DAP, and urea, and then bentonite alone, you could see that it could get oxidation up to rate about 130 milligram S. In other words, that when the TSP reached the same maximum yield as the gypsum, it would take about 13 times more sulfur requirement than gypsum. And the other thing is that nitrogen and phosphorus provide a nutrient for the microbial growth. So they at high rate, and for some time, it can increase. But for the bentonite here, it's no nitrogen, no phosphorus, and therefore, almost could not get reached the same maximum yield. But this clearly demonstrates the granular element sulfur oxidation differ from the powdered element sulfur oxidation. These are two entirely different categories. This is one thing I want to be sure. In the past history, most people used to study the powdered element sulfur. So our study, the objective is to compare the sulfur availability from different sources of granular, I underscore this, to two consecutive maize crop grown on oxy soil in Brazil, low in sulfur nutrient. Granular sulfur sources, one is ammonium sulfate, one is a blended or mixed ammonium sulfate, ammonium nitrate, granular, but blended. Then the fused ammonium sulfate nitrate, what we call fused ASN. Then this MES-15, the monoammonium phosphate with the 15% of sulfur split 50-50 in fertilizer. Soils is oxy soil about 5.4 in Brazil. Rate is 0, 10, 25, 50, 75, incorporated into the soil. Now, crop is after harvesting of the first maize, this is after 6 weeks. The second maize, another 6 weeks, was seeded without disturbing the soil parts. So this is very important, is that we did not disturb the granular element sulfur granules. So without disturbing, we just seeded the cone seeds on top of the soils and let the fertilizer still remain undisturbed. All other nutrients were added at the adequate level, soil moisture and so on, block design. And then dry matter yield of and sulfur uptake were measured. Now, two crops, 6 weeks for each, so two crops will be 12 weeks. That's about 3 months in total time of plant growth. The dry matter yield of the first crop of maize. Now this is the mean of the average across the sulfur rate. So basically, ammonium sulfate fused, blended, all performed almost equally well, and then the response was high, significant, which compares to control. The MAP, this one, B, that's the MES-15, shows lower yield in dry matter yield of the first crop. This is plotted by the total sulfur applied. The sulfur uptake, the same. The three sources of sulfur, more or less the same, except the MES, this containing the granular element sulfur, statistically lower than sulfur uptake by the first maize. Now, if we plot the sulfur uptake versus the ammonium sulfate sulfur applied, remember, ammonium sulfate sulfur applied, not total. This is the hypothetical response curve. Suppose we get this ammonium sulfate curve like this, and this is the check. So this is the soil sulfur contribution, uptake of sulfur from the check, from the soil. This is the sulfur uptake from ammonium sulfate. Now, if the ammonium sulfate plus ES, that element sulfur, plotted against ammonium sulfate sulfur applied, if this line is above the line of ammonium sulfate, this represents the contribution of sulfur oxidation, right? And then you can say delta S from element sulfur oxidation to increase the sulfur uptake. And this delta S divided by delta S from ammonium sulfate, you can calculate as the relative effectiveness of element sulfur with respect to ammonium sulfate. But what happens if the sulfur response curve for ammonium sulfate and ammonium sulfate and element sulfur, they too follow the same curve, rather than two distinct curves? The same curve, when we apply versus ammonium sulfate sulfur, not total, ammonium sulfate sulfur. That means sulfur uptake from ammonium sulfur in the AS plus ES is zero. That is no contribution of ammonium sulfur oxidation. We have the same as ammonium sulfate in here, ammonium sulfate in here. That's the hypothetical curve. So let's look at the actual sulfur uptake by the first graph. This one, we have ammonium sulfate, we have the blended ammonium sulfate, ammonium nitrate, and then we have an open circuit of MAP plus the 50-50 ammonium sulfate and ammonium sulfur. Now you can see all the data points, they follow the same curve. So the conclusion is no significant oxidation of ammonium sulfur in the granular ammonium sulfate and element sulfur to provide sulfate sulfur. Otherwise, this open circle line should be above the line of the other sources of sulfur sources, okay? So this is, remember, plot against the ammonium sulfate sulfur, not total. The dry meter yield of second crops, more or less the same as mean, as I said, that the second crop, again, the three sources about the same, and this MES with element sulfur way below. Sulfur uptake, I'm sorry, the data point not so good, but the try to fit the regression is terrible. So up and down, but as a whole, you can see that almost three sources, more or less about the same, and then this MAP way below, the C you can see here. This is the sulfur uptake by the second mains. So in conclusions, the results show that the granular ammonium sulfate blended ASN and fused ASN were equally effective in dry meter yield and sulfur uptake by two successive maize crops, and all were more effective than that of granular MAP containing 15% S and then 50-50 split the two. There was almost no ES oxidation of the granular MAP to provide available P to the first and second maize crop. The result agrees with the review paper by Boswell and Friesen that large granular element sulfur proved ineffective in field experiments conducted in New Zealand and Canada. Finally, more research is needed to evaluate residual element sulfur availability of granular MP fertilizers enriched with micronutrient element sulfur or element sulfur plus ammonium sulfate, especially for the in the no-till system and the field condition. So this is the kind of preliminary data as such so far. But this was done in Brazil. And last year, I presented similar data in Tampa ASA meeting that was done by IFTC in Alabama. So the two greenhouse experiments confirmed each other that we could not see the effectiveness of the granular MAP fertilizer containing ammonium sulfur. Thank you. Did I make it?
We have time for a question. Any questions?
Excuse me, couldn't hear you. Well, yes, but you said short term means 12 weeks. first crop and second crop, if you talk about 1 year, 2 years, another story. That's why my suggestion. So, yes, in the initial response, we could not see it. But remember, Friesen and Bowie in the review paper said that in New Zealand and Canada, they also showed that granular endosulfur sulfur ineffective. So, that's their data. I mean, should I use the isotopes? Well, I use this two curve. Plotting against the ammonium sulfate is a pretty good one, right? I don't need the fancy isotopes. Right? You plot ammonium sulfate, that will tell you something.
Thank you very much.